is New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Omar, the Executive Director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. Ernesto, I start with you and your comments on Ecuador. We have what appears to be good news from the capital, Quito. Ecuador's government and indigenous community leaders reached a deal, ending months-long talks that lead to dozens of agreements for implementing economic and environmental concessions, which President Lasso made to end deadly protests in June. Lasso, a conservative, writes Reuters, a conservative former banker, began negotiations in mid-July to establish how to enact his promises, which include price controls, debt forgiveness, and policies for the oil and mining sectors. Your dealings with Ecuador and now this announcement, is this a positive direction? Because we have so many negatives in the region.
Yes, it's a positive. I admire a lot what Ecuador is doing in terms of surviving this wave of destabilization across the region since the previous government, since the Lenin Moreno government, which, by the way, made a 180-degree turn. He started as a part of the left-wing São Paulo Forum-dominated scheme and as a certainly a sincere and well-intentioned man, he realized the amount of corruption and crime that was involved. So he turned against the previous president, Correa, and suffered a coup attempt because of that. The Correistas, right, the previous president's supporters, started tried to topple Lenin Moreno. And back then, I was foreign minister, and Brazil supported Lenin Moreno diplomatically, basically, but very strongly. And I'm very glad that he survived that attempt. And also that President Lasso now survived the attempt and is coming to terms with the indigenous question, which is, as the migration as well, is weaponized against the conservative and democratic governments across the region by the São Paulo Forum project, the left-wing project. So, Ecuador is an example to be followed. Right, they are managing to survive against that sort of wave, and that has to do a little bit, I believe, with the support that Brazil, with the conservative government, gave them, and I hope is still giving them.
Joseph, the indigenous people are often a theme that has been emphasized by disruption from the popular left, the populism. I note that in Chile, I believe there was much attention for the indigenous people, but there's been turmoil, and it was the new constitution, which was rejected, had a lot of considerations for the indigenous people. So is there a general opinion of how the indigenous people are treated by the governments, or is it case by case with good news in Ecuador and disappointing news in Chile?
Well, I think, John, there's obviously there is case by case in terms of there's nuances to the indigenous communities in every country. The indigenous community in Ecuador has different characteristics than the indigenous community in Chile or Peru. But there is a strategic element here that I think is, you know, worth talking about. And maybe to simplify it a bit, basically, there's the political indigenous movements that are indigenous movements that are often controlled by other political actors, outside actors even. Evo Morales in Bolivia has a huge footprint in almost all the indigenous groups in Latin America. And then there are indigenous groups that are more authentic in terms of their representation in a country and in their communities. And what I've seen, and I spent actually a year with the indigenous community in Ecuador, close to a year, back in when I was studying in 2006 or 2007, around that time frame. And what I remember, what I took away from that was there was a part of the indigenous community that was very much with economic development and modernity that was happening inside Ecuador. They wanted the country to grow. They wanted the country to have more opportunities. They weren't even against the mining and the oil extraction because they always felt that in some ways, even though they're very close to the environment, in some ways that also provides resources to be able to give their communities more opportunities. But then there's a very political element, particularly in Ecuador, that's called the CONAI, that would actually, they're basically bullies inside the indigenous community, and they would try to bully the indigenous leaders to basically kind of fall well in line with their political objectives. Rafael Correa, who was the president at the time in Ecuador, and the former president, he was very much using the indigenous community as a political weapon to go against his opposition, both internally and externally, mostly the multinational companies, the oil companies, the mining companies inside the country. But it was curious that when there was an American mining company, they would protest and they would try to make all this fuss about it. But when it was a Chinese mining company, the indigenous community stayed quiet. And that's not because the indigenous communities weren't complaining about that. That was because Rafael Correa would through Kunai, which is the political arm, would not let it happen. So I think that's the way to kind of look at it, the political, and separate the political indigenous groups from the actual legitimate, authentic indigenous groups that are in Latin America.
I note in the news reporting, Joseph is prescient, president of the indigenous organization Kunai, warned the agreements were just partial advances, with most failing to meet the requirements as laid out in June protests. The argument continues. Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. This is the New World Report. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.